Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
The defense won Saturday's spring game, putting an end to the Boilermakers' 15 practices as they start to look toward the fall, when Purdue hopes it can be a contender in the Big Ten West. Our thoughts on the spring? The Ross Aid Stadium renovations, Jeff Brom's contract, much more on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters with Tom Deanhart. Tom, Purdue, a defensive program now? What's going on? The defense wins the spring game? I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of them too, so you got a lot of context. And you know what, Kyle? Like, even going into Saturday, I thought the defense was going to be a strong point of this team. Now, having said that, as you know and listeners know, you never want to take what you see in this spring, you know, too positively or negatively. It's just a kind of a warped reality with so many players out. But even so, having said that, I still think the defense has a chance to be the backbone of this team, just like it was last year. It may sound funny to say that without George Karloftis as part of that defense, or Jalen Alexander for that matter, but Kyle, there's still a lot of talent on that side of the ball, beginning with the line, which I think could be the strongest part of the team. Mark Hagan thinks he'll go three deep. So, nice salvo for the defense. Give the offense, I guess, something that to focus on as it moves forward into this long off season now, right?
Yeah, I think warped reality is a good way to describe any set of spring practices, and maybe for Purdue this spring in particular with all the injuries that the Boilermakers have had. On the defense, though, man, it was hard. You know, last year I felt like Purdue's defensive success was so much predicated on George Karloftis being on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Not that he had overwhelming numbers, but just that the offense had to pay so much attention to him that it helped the rest of the team. I mean, I think he really elevated the rest of the team to be where it was defensively. And we saw, you know, to some extent with him not on the field in the bowl game, Purdue gave up some big plays and a bunch of points. And while it still won the game, I don't think the defense was anywhere near what it had been during the regular season. So how does the defense become better here in 2022 without Karloftis on the field?
And that's a fair point and very good point. Like you said, not gaudy sack or TFL numbers for Big George, but pressures and the impact on passing games that he had was profound. If you look at the Pro Football Focus metrics and things of that ilk, and that's a question. There's no doubt, Kyle, and Jeff Brohm's talked about that this spring. So did Ron English. He's going to call the defense. Was while there's players, are there any playmakers? And that's the key question. That's the conundrum that has to be answered. Are there any playmakers? Because there's plenty of depth of talent, a lot of solid players, but are there any difference makers? And could Branson Dean be that guy from the inside? Could the transfer Scotty Humpich be the guy at Leo? you know, we saw, or they're going to get this summer, the Nick Caraway kid, the four-star recruit in Texas, who could have a big impact as well. So, maybe Cordae Sidner. I mean, I could go on and on here, Kyle. There's a lot of good-looking players who flashed this spring, but are there any difference makers? And I guess time will tell, right? Again, it looks like a few guys could fit that profile, but as you know, buddy, until they flip those lights on a Saturday afternoon, I guess we really won't know if they have anybody special up front that can really bring the heat.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have players up there, but as you said, playmakers. I do feel like there's a chance that there are some playmakers in the secondary once everybody gets healthy again. I mean, Jalen Graham, I think, is a playmaker now playing, you know, maybe a hybrid safety or whatever it is that he's playing in what could be a 4-2-5. Corey Trice, we hope, gets healthy again and can reach his potential. It's been an interesting career arc for Trice just because he has shown flashes. And I think everybody feels like he's a solid number one cornerback because of those flashes and because of his size. But he's been injured, too, and we haven't really seen it for an extended period. You know, Cam Allen has a chance and can make some plays. There are the potential for some playmakers in the second half of the defense, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You talked about a few of them there. Corey Trice, he's an all Big Ten talent, maybe a guy who gets drafted next year. 6'3", about 210-pound cornerback, checks a lot of the boxes the pros like. Jamari Brown, of course, filled in for Trice last year when Trice was hurt. The Kentucky transfer acquitted himself pretty well, but he was out this spring, just like Corey Trice. T. Denson, too, Kyle, transfer from Kansas State. Another cornerback was out all spring. Now, some people think he's the best transfer cornerback they got, and Purdue got three of them this offseason. The other two were Reese Taylor from Indiana and Bryce Hampton from Adams State. Both those guys did go through spring ball, and Reese Taylor is the guy to watch, I think, Kyle. Dynamic athlete who may help in the return game as well. So there's some options there at cornerback. And you talked about the safety spot, too. Marvin Grant's the guy you have to mention. He missed spring practice.
Yeah.
Add him to the list with his shoulder issue. And yeah, Jalen Graham, my goodness. He was out this spring with this rib injury, but you're exactly right. He's a safety, but kind of a hybrid safety. Kyle, when you watch that defense line up, maybe at first, kind of first and 10, you're going to see Graham almost lined up like a linebacker, really. You saw that Saturday.
Yeah.
And when they play those power teams like a Wisconsin, you're going to see Graham more in that kind of traditional linebacker-looking spot. On third downs, passing downs, or against spread teams, that's where you're going to see Jalen Graham sort of split out in space covering somebody. So that's how they're going to use Sam and Kyle. He's hands down the best player on that defense. He is a playmaker. And his senior year could be very special. So they want to keep Jalen healthy and hopefully have him make a lot of plays, not just on the perimeter, but also bringing him on some passing downs, too, as a blitzer.
Right, right. So is the biggest question for this team, whether it be offense or defense, just come on the offensive line? I mean, is that where it is for Purdue, whether Purdue can get five on the field who are a plus, and then whether they can have maybe two or three quality backups to be able to make this offensive line, you know, maybe the same in terms of quality as what it was last year, or if Purdue could improve upon that, make it even a little bit better?
Yeah, you know, they were lucky last year, Kyle. There really weren't any significant injuries up front. By and large,
yeah,
they stayed pretty healthy, and they have to hope for that same luck this year, because right now the depth, as you alluded to, is not where they would like to have it. I think the first five could be good, Kyle. But as you know, things happen. You're probably going to have to tap into that depth. But you have two good starting points with, Gus Hartwig at center and your left guard, Spencer Holstead. Kyle, I wouldn't be shocked if maybe somebody like Marcus Bowe starts at right guard. And then your tackles. I think you could see Cam Craig next to Bo on the right side, Eric Miller at left tackle. Now, they really love Mahin Musa, just like Marcus Bo, a redshirt freshman. He's a tackle. For some reason, Craig can't go. I think maybe Musa starts a tackle and they move Craig to guard. So bottom line, Kyle, I think there's about seven to maybe eight linemen they feel comfortable playing right now. Remember this, too. They've got a kid coming in from Kansas State who committed about a week ago, Daniel Johnson. And he's a tackle. And I'm not sure if he's of the same caliber as like a Dave Steinmetz or even a Tyler Witt, an automatic plug and start guy. Maybe he will be, but I get the impression he's, at the very least, he's going to provide some nice depth and another option for him at tackle, again, to give him just another body they can play if they need to.
Yeah, all those departures that Purdue had last year at this time, that were many of them were injury-related departures. Where it really starts to hurt is probably not so much last year, but this year in terms of depth, right? I mean,
yeah,
those guys
yeah.
were developmental guys who you probably could project as being potential starters, you know, this year and next year, or at the very least, quality backups. And now, I mean, what was it? There were like four or five, right, offensive linemen that Purdue lost in about two-month stretch that,
yeah.
Well, maybe they would have provided some backup last year, certainly would have, you know, been a step closer to providing some real depth or even, you know, possibility of being starters this year.
Yeah, then Dave Monet left. Mark Stickford left. This spring they saw the big tackle, the redshirt freshman, Jalen Allstar, Vandeveer leave as well. And it's sort of been a group of two or three guys every season that for one reason or another has to give up football. So here they are again, having to sort of reset the deck, which is what you were talking about, and still developing guys. And they got four linemen coming in, but you really can't count on true freshmen. You know that. The other wild card, too, we haven't talked about was is the transfer they added in December from Florida International, Sione Finau. And that was a kid, Kyle, I think, you know, the thought was he's your right guard, right? He's got to take Tyler Witt's spot. Well, Sione Finau hardly even practiced this spring. Got in, I think, the last week. I think he had a back issue. I don't think he even played Saturday from what I saw. So that's a guy who's still a little bit of a wild card. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to start for you right out of the gate, but they certainly got to get him up to speed, and he will at least provide you with an experienced option to play at the guard spot if you need it.
Let's talk some quarterbacks. I think we know what Aiden O'Connell will be this season, regardless of what he looked like here in the spring. What did you think about a couple of the young guys at quarterback, Michael Limo and Brady Allen?
Love Brady Allen. Boy, standing next to that kid, Kyle, he's every bit of Kyle Charter's height, man, 6'5", 6'6". And he can throw the ball.
Hopefully he can throw it. Hopefully he can throw the ball better than me. Can he throw the ball better than me?
He doesn't have the Kyle Charter's voice, though. But he can throw the ball better than a lot of people, and you and I included. And a great kid, seems like he has a great personality. And I tell you what, a little mechanical, the game was fast for him right now. That's all understandable, all getting adjusted type of deals for Brady Allen as he comes from Gibson Southern early to deal with his spring practice. I think the plan is, Kyle, you know, redshirt this year. Maybe he gets in a handful of games. You know, he can play up to four and still redshirt. I'm sure Purdue wants to preserve that year. Get him acclimated, and then Kyle, you know, I mean, he's the future, right? No offense to Michael Lamo. Michael Lamo will be back, and he will compete. I guess we shouldn't totally write Michael Lamo off, but it's going to be Brady Allen versus Michael Lamo next year, right? And Brady Allen, like I said, four-star and one of the most touted recruits they've had in generations. So I thought he had his moments on Saturday. Lamo did, too. Now, Lamo and Burton, Austin Burton, are obviously the two competitors back up O'Connell this year, and they're very similar, Kyle, from the skill set standpoint. Both are good athletes, have nice arms, understand the offense. You know, Jeff Blum, after the spring game, talking about Burton, almost sounded like they're always going to have a package of plays for Austin Burton to run. And, again, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Austin Burton every game, maybe in the red zone, maybe on third and short. So they want to take advantage of his skill set. They don't want it just to rot on the bench. We saw a little bit of that last year, of course. And, again, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Burton utilized again just to take advantage of his skill set to help that team get first downs and score touchdowns.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Jeff Brohm's contract extension, some Ross Ed renovation, a bunch of news from the last week regarding Purdue football. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Yeah, big news last week in terms of renovations at Ross-Ade Stadium, which we knew were coming at some point, but Purdue will start to put those plans in motion to upgrade the south end zone and then also build a tunnel from whatever the building is they call now, the Breeze Academic Center, or the – is that where it's going to come from? Where's it going to come from? Is it going to come all the way
it's
from
the
performance complex?
Yeah. It's going to come from the Kosich Football Performance Complex, Kyle.
Okay, so all the way over there, yeah.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's not too far. It's not too far.
Yeah, under the road there and then over and then into the stadium, which I think is a good idea. Let's start with the south end zone. You know, so I read and listened to Mike Wobinski's comments, and I think it's interesting exactly what the plans become for the south end zone, because it sounds like, at least at the moment, that it's sort of it's open-ended, the right – not literally open-ended. They want to close it off a little bit, but not yet decided exactly what that will be. I always thought that Purdue probably would put in some higher-end – suites in that area, because of course those generate money, but then Purdue's also talking about possibly moving the students into that section. So what do you think ultimately the south end zone turns out to be at Purdue?
Yeah, I was a little confused. I wanted clarity on what exactly was going to go on down there, and I asked Mike Wobinski that Friday after the Board of Trustees meeting. And first of all, to back up a little bit, there's not going to be any renderings, which, of course, would answer everyone's visual questions, right, until probably this summer. So there's that. We have to use our mind's eye to imagine all this. But just a quick recap. They want to have some type of permanent seating in and around the scoreboard structure. They want to maintain those lower seats that almost hug the field there. They're still there now. And they want to, in each corner, they want to have what he called terraced seating. And he says they have this in a lot of MLS stadiums where you can sort of stand if you want or pull down a seat and sit. He also said there's going to be what he called connectors where, Kyle, now the east and the west stands are going to be connected some way, somehow. I'm not sure how. But you're going to be able to walk the entirety of Ross-Ade Stadium in one giant loop if you want. Where before, remember, really, I think you had to go outside. They may not even let you do it last year, or walk behind the scoreboard to get to the other side of the stands. But anyway, they're going to be able to do that now with some type of a connector, it's called. So physically, those are the plans. And then, of course, well, it sort of made my ears perk up, where the thought, it's not a done deal, just thinking about moving the students to the south end zone. You know, right now, they've sort of always been in that part of the Ross-Ade Stadium. on those stands there, and there's 12,000 student tickets they sold last year, so that's roughly the number you're looking at. And again, Mike Wobinski said he wanted to create, the word he used was, a raucous environment down there. And so again, those are the ideas for the south end zone. Probably the biggest takeaway, newsworthy item, I think, from the Ross-Ade renovations that really impact the fans, Kyle. The tunnel's cool for the players. Going to be a nice recruiting vehicle as well. Cool way for the team to enter the stadium, I think, and make it a lot shorter trip than what it is now. And then also, Kyle, just outside the end zone there at the north end, there's that Purdue team store that's going to be converted to a nutrition and a dining facility, not just for the football team, but for all student athletes. So that's going to be nice as well. And Kyle, while the Kosich Football Performance Complex, you were there when that thing was getting built, 2016-17, and it's got all the bells and whistles, right? But it was built without any type of dining facility, and that's usually a staple in those facilities. So I'm not sure why it wasn't added. Long story short, they're trying to, you know, remedy that by having this nutrition facility there right adjacent to the Kozich, which would be awfully convenient for the football team.
Yeah, and, you know, the tunnel between the two will make a lot of sense then as well. And if I'm thinking of the layout correctly, I think the locker room is on that side of that building also. So, you know, maybe be able to connect directly from the locker room area out to the football field.
Yeah.
Makes a whole lot of sense. You will lose some seating then somewhere in the north.
Yeah, you will.
End zone.
Now, Mike Lubinsky talked about that. They are going to lose some seats by coming into the stadium there. But he thinks they can recoup the loss and maybe even gain a few by what they're doing in the south end zone. So, that's a good point to bring up. And also, this is noteworthy as far as the timeline goes, which is what Mike Lubinsky called, quote, ambitious. They want to start this at the conclusion of this coming season, November, December of 2022, and then have it ready to go, Kyle, by the start of the 2023 season. And also, Kyle, another kind of big item was initially – when all this was hatched pre-COVID, the price tag was $30 million. And, of course, you saw the price tag is now almost $45 million. Now, Mike Lubinsky thought that was a worst-case scenario. May not be quite that much, but still going to be a lot more than $30 million.
Yeah, prices have gone up, Tom, just a bit in the last couple of years. Prices of everything. But again,
this is
crazy to me. We were told when COVID started that there'd be no more money. Weren't we? I'm not saying Purdue said that, but didn't everyone say that? This is going to be the great adjustment period, that coaches are going to be paid less and that there's going to be no money. It's just crazy how none of that happened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The college sports wasn't even a speed bump, was it? And it's funny. Oh. So I think Iowa cut some sports. I think they brought them back. I mean, it was just a crazy time. We're going to look back on with some wonder and bewilderment, I think. I'm just glad. Everybody's glad it's in a rearview mirror, but you're right. The rainy day that was forecast certainly never seemed like it arrived with the ferocity many people thought it was going to.
Yeah. It just makes you feel like it's like just Monopoly money. I mean, I know it's not, but...
crazy. The money the school's gotten. Purdue's got plenty of money. They got some generous donors as well. Purdue's always, as you know, you've been there forever too. And it's a pretty conservative place, and they always manage their money well.
Yeah. Jeff Rom gets a 2-year contract extension. That's not surprising. Purdue needed to add a couple of years to the end of that contract, for recruiting purposes and all of that. So we knew that was coming at some point, but now it's done. And so Jeff Brohm gets his contract extension.
Yeah, it was going to end 2025, and now it's 2027. Jeff Brohm's income isn't going to really raise with any real significance. He is going to have a larger pool of money for his assistant coaches. He does have a couple retention bonuses that have been added, Kyle. I think they hit in 2024, 2026, with $500,000 and $1 million if he's still around by March 1st of those years. And, I think those were the big takeaways with the Brohm contract extension. Mike Lubinsky said Brohm's people came to them about it, and it was very amicable, and it worked out relatively quickly, it sounds like.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom. Have a good week.
Take care, my friend.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast that's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And much more off the spring game, the Ross Ed renovation, and Jeff Brown's contract extension at goldandblack.com. I'm sure Tom will follow up on those this week on the site as well. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back again next Monday. Of course, others will drop throughout the week as well. Thanks to our sponsors. And for Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.